The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Russia would reconcile its position on Libya, its position on Syria, its warnings against intervention in another country, and then not respect the sovereignty of Ukraine and the will of the people there. So we're hoping that Russia will not see this as sort of a continuation of the Cold War. We don't see it that way. We do not believe this should be an East-West, Russia, United States. This is not Rocky IV.
Well, you're sure trying to make it so. You and that moron McCain have done everything you can to stir up World War III, you idiot. This is Michael Savage. I'm back live today, and today's show is going to be Savage's Guide for the Perplexed regarding the Ukraine. I'm going to give you my opinion and the opinions of others, including the callers. Later on, we're going to have a gentleman on who thinks that it's the Ukrainian neo-Nazis who have taken over the Ukraine. And I will remind John Kerry that the gentleman who was thrown out by the thugs was duly elected by the people of the Ukraine. So which side are we on? I mean, we say we're on the side of democratically elected individuals, and now we're on the side of the thugs who threw a democratically elected individual out of the parliament. Now we're telling Russia to stay out of the Crimea, which has been part of Russia for centuries. Of course, it was given away to the Ukraine in 1954 for reasons that are still obscured by Nikita Khrushchev, Joseph Stalin, excuse me. But the thing is, Russia and the Ukraine is the question today, and I'm going to throw this question out to you before I tell you a little bit of the background, what I think is happening, what I predicted would happen is happening, as you can pretty much tell. Let's boil it down. Putin's not going to walk away because Obama told him not to do anything. He's not going to walk away because this raspy individual from Harvard, John Kerry, is telling him that this is not Rocky IV. Who the heck does he think he's talking to? They have their fleet there. The people speak Russian. Thousands of ethnic Russians in the Crimea are protesting against the new government in Kiev. The new government that is lining up with the EU, the corrupt EU, the corrupt bankers in the EU, the corrupt big oil magnates in the EU, the corrupt IMF in the EU, are the people behind this turmoil in the Ukraine. And both Russia and the Ukraine were part of the Soviet Union at the time in 1954. When Russia gave Crimea away. Nobody knows why. But there's one thing that we do know, which is that Russian President Putin has no intention of letting the Crimea slip from his hands. Russia is staging military drills. They have 150,000 troops on the border. They have fighter jets launched in the area bordering Ukraine. And they're reminding the Ukrainians who really has the power there. What is Crimea? It's a peninsula of the landmass called the Ukraine. Parts of Crimea, including Sevastopol, are described as Little Russia. And activists there have vowed it will remain so, no matter what happens with the rest of the Ukraine. The demonstrations going on in the Crimea today, where armed men took over the Crimean Parliament building in Simferopol, Ukraine, Thursday. Now, it's interesting to me how Reuters opposed this. They said armed men seize government buildings in Ukraine. Typical neo-Nazi Reuters. The writers for Reuters are the descendants of Hitlerites, guilty liberals who still see things in the wrong manner. Let's look at that headline. Armed men seize government buildings in Ukraine. But wasn't it armed men who threw the duly elected prime minister out of the Ukraine in Kiev? So now that armed men who are taking back a piece of this nation, which they believe belongs to Russia because of its alliances, they are now the bad ones? And they don't even say in the Crimea, they say in Ukraine. But let's go on with the story here. The demonstrations in the Crimea going on today show you the broad divide in that region, as well as the rest of Ukraine. Part of the area wants to combine with the West, the corrupt West, the corrupt IMF, the corrupt EU. We hear it's freedom. many of us know it's not freedom. The European Union is the new Soviet Union. You don't understand that. The new EU is a new international conglomerate of nations, very much like the ex-Soviet Union, being run by a bunch of perverts in Brussels who are trying to dictate to all of the ex-nations how to run their lives. The EU is no answer to and for anybody. And in fact, if elections were held in all of the countries that were forcibly made to be part of the EU, most of the people in most of the countries that have been rolled into the EU would elect to stay as their independent sovereign nations. Putin will not let the Ukraine slip from the Russian sphere of influence. Further, fueling what can only be called a cultural and political divide in Crimea was a desire by locals for the region to rejoin Russia. But ultimately, Ukrainian and Crimean lawmakers intervened and voted to stay in the Ukraine. And please don't forget what you learned in high school. Remember the Yalta Conference vaguely in your high school cliff notes? In those days, we had regents tests and whatnot. In 1945, U.S. President FDR, British PM Winston Churchill, and Soviet leader Joseph Stalin met to divide up Europe. That meeting, which laid the groundwork for the Cold War, took place in the Crimean resort of Yalta. Now, in addition to these historical concerns, there is also the practical issue of the Russian Black Sea Fleet, which has called Crimea home for 230 years. I don't think that John Kerry and that other dodo, John McCain, are going to scare Putin and have him abandon his ships. After all, they're not Obama. These ships and subs based there are just in the area of Turkey and can reach the Mediterranean to influence the Middle East and the Balkans, and the Russians are not going anywhere. Moreover, Sevastopol, the city where the fleet is based, clearly remains significant for Russia. You may not know this, but in 2010, Moscow gave Ukraine a very good deal on natural gas, partly in exchange for Kiev extending the Russian Navy lease on the base in the Ukraine. Now, there's another more sinister element to this whole story. There is a Ukrainian population that is quite mixed. A large portion of the Ukrainian population are the Tatars or the Tatars. The Tatars have an axe to grind with Russia since Stalin threw them out in the 1950s. Never forget that the Tatars are of Muslim descent. And as far as the people of Crimea are concerned, this group is seeking a Crimean Muslim state in the Crimea. This is a dispute that we must stay out of. Let me be very clear. I am a conservative pacifist in a certain way, or shall I say a non-interventionist? I think that would be more clearly stated. I am a conservative non-interventionist. We cannot destroy U.S. military assets on a daily basis over here and claim we have the readiness over there. Obama has decimated the U.S. military. He has decapitated the command. He has yes girls answering to him. He has decimated the supply and resupply of parts to our airplanes and ships. And now he's going to try to be the world's policeman again? Moreover, no one can say with any certainty that we have the right or the will or the means to do anything other than to stay out of this affair. Now, I'll open up this discussion to you, the listener. Does Russia have the right to invade the Ukraine and take it back from the illegitimates who have taken over the country? And I'll say that again because you don't understand this. The man who was thrown out was elected in a fair election. I'm not saying he was a prince amongst men, but I am saying he was elected. So if we're in favor of democratically elected leaders, well, he was thrown out by a mob. And that's an important point to remember. Because the Ukraine is now the fifth nation to be taken down by Obama and the New World Order. This was started in Tunisia. This was all orchestrated, in my opinion, by Zbigniew Brzezinski, the architect of all of the New World Order, working on hand in glove with George Soros. The Ukraine is now the fifth nation to fall. It began with Tunisia. In at least four of these nations, the most decrepit elements in society were taken to attack the established government and replace it with political corruption, chaos, and death, in some cases, Islamist regimes. But now we know why. These are the people most likely to engage in violence. And if you looked at the Ukraine last week, The demonstrators in the central square were originally peaceful. They were not violent. But then they called in the right-wing Nazi thugs who threw the bombs, the fire bombs, and shot the policemen. In other words, the hippies, the useful idiot hippies who rioted, didn't have the guts to actually throw the Molotov cocktails or fire the machine guns. Suddenly, men with machine guns appeared, and the hippies, the Occupy movement hippies, made the Molotov cocktails. You see all the girls with the tight jeans that the American media loves so much, akin to the boys in Egypt that the folks at CNN love so much because they wore such beautiful Western jeans and at the time had Blackberries in their hands. How could Anderson Cooper not have fallen in love with them? How could that moron not have misunderstood which side they were on? So now in the Ukraine, they had the girls in the front making believe they were the face of the peace-loving Ukrainian people who simply wanted democracy. But behind them were the neo-fascists, the Nazis who are the descendants of those who fought alongside Hitler in World War II, who shot policemen and threw Molotov cocktails at the policemen. I'm asking you again, who is behind all of this? Well, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back. The faces have now changed a little bit. The instigators and the revolutionary fighters are not Muslim. They are Ukrainian fascists and neo-Nazis. They're the ones who did the heavy lifting during the coup and whom our ambassador Nuland courted as future leaders of their country. It's Obama behind it all. But Senator John McCain is not to be given a pass on this. It was the U.S. Senator, the dolt John McCain, who went to Kiev to openly urge the minority rabble to mount a campaign that would force change of government, a government that had been democratically elected. The EU's fascist Catherine Ashton did likewise, another liberal posing as a good girl when she's nothing but a new fascist. So it'll come as no surprise when it eventually leaks out that the U.S. and the EU was financing and arming the terrorist protesters. And who do you think will be asked to restore order by force? That will be Mr. Putin. I will tell you this. This is just beginning. It certainly is not the end. As Winston Churchill said, this is only the end of the beginning. It is not the beginning of the end. If you have comments to make, and my main question is on the Savage Nation, does Russia have the right to invade the Ukraine? There's going to be a multiplicity of opinions on this subject. I'm aware of that. The phone number to this show is 1-800. I have to look at my number. I've been off for a day. 800-445-800. I see it. I'm sorry. 1-855. Thank you, Neil. 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
It is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We have a complicated situation. There are opinions on all sides of the matter. There is no question in my mind whatever we think is irrelevant. What Putin will do is what is relevant. And as the demonstrators have proven, once again, power comes out of the barrel of a gun. They used guns to overthrow a duly elected leader in the Ukraine. And I think that Putin understands he has bigger guns. And I don't believe that the revolutionaries who have taken over the Ukraine will necessarily get away with it because John Kerry said to Russia, don't do anything. Play another John Kerry clip. I think clip two will be a good one.
I think Russia needs to be very careful in the judgments that it makes going forward here. We are not looking for confrontation. Oh, no. But we are making it clear that every country should respect the territorial integrity here, the sovereignty of Ukraine. Russia has said it will do that, and we think it's important that Russia keeps its word.
What do you mean the territorial integrity? You helped overthrow a government that was elected, Mr. Kerry. Now, you say you're on the side of democracy, and now you're on the side of the rabble who overthrew the democratically elected leader. So which side are we really on? That's question number one. Number two, is this in our sphere of influence? I mean, is the Ukraine in our backyard or in Russia's backyard? Whose backyard is it in? You're not thinking clearly here. What are we doing there? Now, I'm going to tell you something else that everyone's missed so far. During the election, Mr. Romney said Russia is our biggest threat, and he was laughed out of the debate by the fraudsters like that slob there, Candy Crowley on CNN, who, if there was a people tribunal, I'd put her away for 100 years for what she did during that election. She makes me crazy whenever I watch that roly-poly fraud. She undermined Romney at every turn. He should have been smart enough to see it coming. Listen to what Romney said way back when in clip four.
And if he's planning on doing more and suggest to Russia that he has things he's willing to do with them, he's not willing to tell the American people. This is to Russia. This is, without question, our number one geopolitical foe. They fight every cause for the world's worst actors. The idea that he has some more flexibility in mind for Russia is very, very troubling indeed.
So that's Romney talking about Obama after Obama said he had more flexibility for Russia once he'd be elected. Do you remember that? Remember, Obama was caught on an open mic saying to Medvedev, once he is elected, because he knew the election was staged and that Romney was going to throw the election. It was all set up, as you well know. Romney could have won, but Romney, after the first round where he smashed Obama, Obama looked like the scared child he is, by the way. He looked terrified. He fell apart. All of a sudden, in rounds two and three, Romney took a fall. They told him to go down in the second and third round. It's one man's opinion. I'm not on the inside. I've not even been invited to the White House. Unlike the other neocon conservative talk show hosts, I never drank a beer with Bush. I'm the only one he wouldn't have in the White House. Laura Bush didn't put my books in her library. It's one man's opinion. Make believe you're talking to me in a deli somewhere or in Cafe Savage. Don't take me seriously. Listen to those who wrapped themselves in the Constitution and sell you a children's book.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
ASFM. And if he's planning on doing more and suggest to Russia that he has things he's willing to do with them, he's not willing to tell the American people. This is to Russia. This is, without question, our number one geopolitical foe. They fight every cause for the world's worst actors. The idea that he has some more flexibility in mind for Russia is very, very troubling indeed.
That was Romney, during a debate, saying he was alarmed that Obama was capitulating to Russia at the time. In other words, he saw Russia as our foe. Now, I don't see Russia necessarily as our foe. They're certainly not our ally, but on the other hand, we don't need a third world war, do we? Now, many of you have fallen into the belief system that we should stop Russia from moving troops and fighter jets, which are screaming above the border of the Ukraine, especially the Crimea. How are we going to stop them? We're pulling our men out of Afghanistan. We've deballed the military at almost every turn. The Air Force has been penetrated by the KGB feminists. Tell me how we're going to stop them. Our ships are crashing into reefs around the world. They've been turned into floating high schools. I mean, with who? You want to go to war over this? Tell me what we gain. Let's put it another way. Let's say we still have the military capacity, and I'm sure we do, to fight Russia. Tell me what we would gain from such a war. Moreover, it seems to me that this is almost a repeat of the summer of 1917. It always starts with a small regional conflict. Wars generally start like that. And then it escalates. Remember when Yugoslavia started to fall apart? We watched it on television and we said it looked like a joke, like a movie. Remember what that led to? Do you remember what Bill Clinton did to Serbia? Do you remember how he used the pretext of Serbian aggression to steal Kosovo from Serbia? And how the worldwide press backed the Democrat machine and NATO in the stealing of Kosovo from the Serbs? Do you remember that they bombed every bridge on the Danube River and destroyed them, and not one picture ever appeared in any newspaper around the world. They were blocked by the worldwide communist press, better known as the Associated Press and Reuters. They didn't show you one picture of those atrocities. And they stole Kosovo from the Serbs for a number of reasons, one of which was the oil pipeline that runs through Kosovo. And I wrote about it in 1998, the oily tracks run through Kosovo. But to me, it seems to be a repeat of history. It's always about oil. It's always about banking. And they use religious pretexts, nationalist pretexts, to pit one group against another. But never forget that it's always about money. It's always been about money. It always will be about money and power. And they're using the chess pieces of nationalism and religion to stir people up. So what is the real motive behind McCain and John Kerry rattling swords against Russia? Why? What should the U.S. response be at all? Do you think this represents a new Cold War standoff? Is Russia only saber-rattling, or do you think Putin will allow his military to strike? Because right now, jets are screaming above the border of the Ukraine. Right now, pro-Russian individuals have taken over the parliament in the Crimean Peninsula, which is a part of the Ukraine. Right now, shelter has been granted to Ukraine's fugitive president, Viktor Yanukovych, the duly elected, by the way, president. He was not introduced through a coup. He was elected. This is an escalating conflict. And what I told you last week is true. Ukraine's finances have plummeted further. And there's an individual who's made fortune after fortune after fortune in trading currencies. I also told you that this individual, who virtually owns the United States government lock, stock, and barrel, the Rothschild of our time, this individual's short-sold $1.3 billion in a basket of stocks a few weeks before all of this happened. And if you don't think that one man would wreck a nation for profit, then you know nothing about history. Countries have been sent to war and hundreds of thousands, if not more, killed simply for profit by insanely greedy people. That's all I want to say right now because there's too much more to be said. I'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. Let's begin in, well, I don't know where to begin, really. I have so many great calls here. Let's go to Bobby on WABC in New York. Bobby, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Dr. Savage, I got to begin by saying that you have such a sharp mind and are right about so many things, and I can actually feel your emotion. And I have the same emotion.
Well, right now, let me explain something. I was out yesterday with something, and I'm on medication, which I never take. And the medication is affecting me in a certain way. It's not affecting my mind, but it's affecting my ability to speak in a way that I normally speak. So I don't know if I want to continue on that line, but I can see things as clearly as ever. I'm just slightly off in another manner. So I'm going to let the callers do a little bit of the talking today.
Mr. Savage, listen. If they ever come, you said a couple of weeks ago, a couple of days ago, I don't know, you said if they ever came to your office and monitored you, that's the day you'd leave.
That's well, that right. I stand by those words. The day Obama puts a fascist police in my studio, I quit radio.
Yeah, well, that's when I hope you get mad enough to run along with Trump. And you got to do it.
Well, that's never going to happen. Let me tell you right now, that's off the table for three reasons. One, I'm not a politician. Two, I would be toxic for Trump, even if he decided to run, because I'm too controversial to align myself with any politician, no matter how good they may be. And thirdly, I'm not interested in running for anything. I'm very interested in surviving on the radio. Now, with regard to the Ukraine, Bobby, do you think Putin has a right to retake the Crimean Peninsula or the entire Ukrainian nation?
I'm just saying, the Ukraine, they're not going to, Russia's not going to give up the Ukraine. They're the breadbasket of Russia. They're not going to give it up. Forget about that. Israel Who knows?
The Ukraine is the middle, the Midwest of Russia. That's right. The wheat crops, etc. Yeah. But remember, there's 46 million people there, and it's considered the cradle of Russian civilization. Incidentally, the Russian language emerged from this area. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, there's so much more to it than meets the eye, and I can't give you a whole history lesson for two reasons. One, I am not a historical expert on the subject, and two, it's not really made for this particular subject. I think the radio is made for the simple question of, do we have business over there, and what is our business over there? Do we have a right to interfere? What in the world is it our business? Tell me why we should be there. Let's put it another way. Let's say that Texas seceded from the United States of America for a number of reasons, maybe for different reasons. And Putin gave a speech and warned Obama not to send troops to Texas to retake Texas, to let Texas remain an independent state. Now tell me what you think Obama would do if Texas seceded and Putin warned Obama and Kerry not to interfere in Texas. I mean, you'd laugh at him, right? You'd say, what, are you crazy? It's part of our nation. We want, you're not going to tell us what to do. I don't understand how you don't see it that way. That's how I see it. Now, John on WJR sees it another way. John, welcome from Detroit, from WJR land. Tell me what you see.
Well, you sound like the Trotskyists, communists. They say
all right, I'm glad you think I'm a Trotskyite, but now let's go on what you think. You think that Putin has no right to retake the Crimea?
No, he's not democratic. We're trying to bring democracy to you.
Whoa, sir. The leader who was just ousted in the Ukraine was duly elected. Do you know that or don't you? Yes or no? Answer the question, since you're an expert on Trotsky. Are you aware that the leader who was just ousted from the Ukraine was duly elected? He was not foisted upon the people.
Yeah, but he's a dictator, though.
Oh, here we go. Well, Obama's not a dictator?
Hugo Chavez is a dictator, so...
All right, you don't know what you're talking about. I thought for a moment when you used the word Trotsky, you knew something. But it's easy to throw words around. But if you don't know the true meaning of it, it's just babble. And we don't need babble on the radio. We have enough of it. We have enough of it with Beyonce in the White House and with Michelle and him getting ready for another vacation. And $20 million worth of vacation so far. The two interlopers there in the White House ready to fly off again on another vacation. It's a perfect time for him to go golfing, you know, when you think about it. This is a real problem for him. He should get out of town right now. It's a perfect time for the president to have another vacation. And certainly the first lady needs to rest up. Been quite a while since she had a new dress and another inaugural ball. This is very serious business because I will tell you right now, the secession of the Crimea is seen in two ways. The Ukrainian leaders right now are saying that they will never let it go. And the Russians, who have erected Russian flags over the local parliament today, threw a flash grenade in response to a journalist's questions. Did you know that? They wore black and orange ribbons, a Russian symbol of victory in World War II. So there's a lot going on. The question is, will Russians move off of their base in the Crimea? They've been warned, by the way, that if they move off their naval base in the Crimea, it will be considered a military aggression by the thugs who took over the Ukraine. Now, I don't know what that means. Is it going to be the Ukrainian troops versus the Russian troops? And who's going to win that battle? Is it going to be the Ukrainian Air Force versus the Russian Air Force, both of whom fly the same planes, by the way, or cross-trained by the same individuals? That's going to be an interesting set of battles. Who will win that one? It's a very, very dangerous tinderbox, is all we know. And right now, there are huge pro-Russian demonstrators marching with huge Russian flags in this area, in Crimea. And there are activists there. 50 to 60 men wearing flak jackets and carrying RPGs and sniper rifles took over the local parliament building in Simferopol in the Crimea. They're taking it back. And here's what he said. He said, the journalist asked us who we were. When we said we stand for the Russian language in Russia, they said, don't be afraid, we're with you. And then they stormed the building, bringing down the doors. And so nobody knows. People are saying they don't look like volunteers or amateurs. They're professional soldiers. But I will remind you that the recent revolution in the Ukraine was conducted by heavily armed men. Arms supplied by whom? The United States, no doubt. The United States supplied the arms for the overthrow of the duly elected president of the Ukraine. So apparently this government does not want the Ukraine in the Russian fold, for reasons that you can well understand. They want the EU to expand, and they want Russia to contract. The phone number is 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. Let's go to WMAL in Washington, D.C. Jonathan, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. First of all, I just want to say, Vladimir Putin, looking at his history, is a former KGB agent, and he is trained...
Well, he's not a former agent. He was the former head of the KGB. He's not an agent. He was former chief of the KGB.
Even better, okay? The point being is this. Let's look at John Kerry. John Kerry was a naval officer in Vietnam, a lieutenant. When he came back from Vietnam, he promptly threw his medals away and protested with Jane Fonda. So you tell me how Vladimir Putin visualizes or considers John Kerry a worthy opponent.
So yeah, let's put it this way. You think he's afraid of Susan Rice, that academic lightweight? Susan Rice and the other four horsewomen of the apocalypse are stooges of the neocons who are orchestrating this entire event. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Jordan Davis' parents, Lucy and Ron.
I'm about to tell you that your president, in the midst of this turmoil in the Ukraine, is right now giving away $200 million only to young men of color for job training and early childhood education. Poor whites need not apply. Do you understand how racist this is? Do you have any idea what this man actually is? He's announcing a program for young men of color. White men who are poor cannot apply for this program. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. And yet this psychopath is doing it right now.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-7282. The Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention here.
Weekdays, noon till 3.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I made bad choices. I got high without always thinking about the harm that it could do. I didn't always take school as seriously as I should have. I made excuses. Sometimes I sold myself short. And I remember when I was saying this, Christian, you may remember this.
All right, I want to interrupt the president's speech to tell you I think he's gone off the rails. While this business is going on in the Ukraine, our crackpot president has just announced that he's giving away $200 million of taxpayer money to young men of color only. Whites need not apply. I'm telling you like it is. I'm not doing this for the sake of alarming you or exciting you. We have a president who looks madder to me by the day. I look at his eyes, and I see a madman. I see a man detached from reality. I see a man who is so above any criticism that he has no one to tell him, wait a minute, president, listen to me. You're going to get up there and you're going to give away money, $200 million, to young men of color only for job training and early childhood education. Well, what do you think white people are going to think? No one said that to him. Now, I have a couple of questions. Where does he have the authority to exclude white people, white young white boys, from such a program? Can anyone listening to this show me where in the law this lunatic president of ours has the right to say that only young men of color can apply for these grants and programs? I'd like to see where it is. I'd like to know where he has the statute, the authority to do this. That's number one. But number two, how could any white person in this country ever vote for a Democrat again? I don't understand you. I don't understand you. You don't see what's happening. You've dug your own grave. He's thrown you in your grave. He's telling you to go to hell. And it was white people, deluded white people, who put him in power. Make no mistake about it. If he didn't get that swing vote of independent whites who were sick and tired of the corrupt Republican regime of George Bush, and they saw another empty suit in their mind of Romney, they said, well, we'll try this guy. Now look where we are. He's now announcing a program, as I speak with you on this radio show tonight, that white boys cannot apply for. It's only for, it says young men of color can apply for the money only. Only Latinos can apply. Latinos and Hispanics, I don't use the word Latino, that's a radical term. Hispanics and African Americans can apply for this money. White boys cannot apply. It's racist, it's unconstitutional, it's illegal. I don't know where he gets the authority to do this. But how do you, the listener of this show, who knows something about the Holy Scriptures and the history of the world, the history of the United States, how do you feel about a man like this doing a thing like this at a time like this when there is turmoil around the world, once again dividing the United States of America? Why is he doing this? That's the bigger question. What is the real motive behind this? How will this money really be spent? He claims it's going to be spent for job training. He claims it's going to be spent for early childhood intervention. I don't believe a word of it. Not one word of it. This money is being used for one reason only, and that's to go out and get new votes for the illegitimate Democrat socialist machine that is the most corrupt machine in the history of the United States of America. But if you're a poor white person, or let's say you mean you're lower middle class, poor, whatever, how could you ever vote for a Democrat again, knowing that their supreme leader has told you that your children cannot apply for a program like this? On what basis would you ever vote for a Democrat again? The worst Republican is better than the best Democrat right now. There is not a Democrat in Congress who is worthy of the name representative. They're not representative. They are representative of a foreign government, a foreign power, a foreign thought. The worst and most moderate Republican is better than the best Democrat. I have never seen such demagoguery in my life. So we're going to talk about that in the Ukraine. In the first hour, I focused on the Ukraine. Here we have a crisis that's almost as big as the Cuban Missile Crisis. And our dunce president is announcing $200 million for young men of color. Instead of giving a policy speech, trying to calm the markets, trying to calm the world, trying to calm Russia, this dunce goes out and does what he's always done since he's been a community organizer, which is to divide and conquer. To divide and conquer. So let's go back to the Ukraine topic, and let's play one of the Kerry clips right now, and I'll take some of your... In fact, let's forget the Kerry clip. There's so much going on today. There's another subject I can't even get to. Today there was a hearing in Congress on the death of 30 U.S. servicemen in Afghanistan after the Taliban allegedly fired a rocket on their helicopter, a story which I, pushed harder than anybody in the media. The Navy SEAL's death. I dedicated my novel, A Time for War, to this subject. The entire first chapter of A Time for War is about the shoot down of that helicopter. I fictionalized it in my novel, A Time for War. And thus far, all we got is a hearing today. That's another topic. So let's take some calls on the topic of the Ukraine. Clip 16, you say, is... No, I don't want to play that because people won't... It's too many topics right now, guys. Let's see what you think about the Ukraine and about Obama giving away money where whites need not apply. Uri on WABC, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Dr. Savage. It's an honor. Just want to say my wife finally got it. After all the topics, I'm still working on the kids. Talking about the Ukraine, I'm wondering, what would your answer be to the quasi-Quiglins who would challenge you to this Ukraine situation as the Russians being the fascist or Hitler-type regime democratically elected, but an entity that should be somehow confronted?
I don't understand what you're saying. What would I can't follow it exactly, Yuri. What's the exact question?
All right. Let's say that the leftist would say this is a regime, Russia, that should be confronted on whatever grounds they feel is necessary. They pick this thing. But they would do it in a way that's backhanded.
I don't understand what we should do. Go to war with Russia? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I agree. I agree. But I'm just asking you what your answer
is. Let's say that even if you think Russia is wrong and has no right to interfere in the overthrow of a duly elected a parliamentarian and president of Ukraine who was overthrown by a mob. Let's not forget that he was elected. He wasn't put there as a puppet. The guy was elected, for God's sakes. He was overthrown by a mob. So Russia's going to say, no, we want to restore order. We want a duly elected representative put back. We're going to hold new elections, and we're not going to let a bunch of neo-fascist thugs take over the country using young girls with iPhones as their front. But I don't know what you're saying. What should we do? Go to war? Move NATO troops into the Ukraine? Should we move NATO troops into the Ukraine right now to protect the Ukraine? Is that what you think? Yuri. He's gone. He's gone. I don't know what he was asking me, truthfully. Okay, look, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a very spirited conversation with a writer by the name of Paul Craig Roberts, who's very, very knowledgeable about the subject. He writes for Prison Planet, and his headline is Ukrainian Neo-Nazis Declare That Power Comes Out of the Barrels of Their Guns. He blames this entire affair on American neocons like Paul Wolfowitz and others who go back to the Reagan administration. And you're going to find out his opinions if you listen to this show. It may not be something you agree with. His ideas may leave you rather unsettled. But I believe in the widest swath of idea exchange possible on this program when it's a subject so important right now. Congress is clueless. The media is clueless. We are actually discussing the issue from all points of view. And while we're doing this, your dunce president is getting up there and talking to a stooge audience in the White House of some of the worst people in America sitting in the audience, including Bill O'Reilly, by the way. We're told that Bill O'Reilly is at Obama's feet applauding him as he announces a program of $200 million for boys of color only. Hispanics and blacks can apply, but not young whites. Now, how can a working-class white man or a single white mother ever vote for a Democrat again? I don't understand how stupid they can be, and yet I do understand the liberal mind. Because I remember when my children were young, I was at a swimming pool, a kind of a public swimming pool in a community center, and it was all liberals. I've always been surrounded by liberals. I rarely meet conservatives. There aren't too many out here in Northern California. I do meet some from time to time. The kids were young, hung around the pool. We go swimming. I never forget, as long as I live, a mother, white mother, of course. I asked her about affirmative action at the time. This is 30 years ago. I said, would you give up your daughter's seat to the University of California for a girl of color who has lower grades? She looked at me and with almost crazed, staring eyes said, yes, I would, because that would be the fair thing to do. At that moment, I knew that America was lost. When the young women had been so brainwashed into committing suicide for themselves and their children, I knew that what was coming was a President Obama and a Congress of the type we have today. This is the result of brainwashing. This is what happens when people cannot think beyond their own doxies. This is what happens when they put their own survival on the back burner. Now let's go to the callers on all of these important topics the minute I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
As we speak, I'm the only website that I know of posting an article about Obama announcing a $200 million gift to young men of color only. Poor whites need not apply today for job training. I don't understand how this can be done. I know he's a racist. I know that he's a divide and conquer leftist. I understand that. But do we live in a participatory democracy? Where is the opposition to this? Where is one voice saying, Mr. President, you can't do it. It's illegal. You cannot exclude a race. You should know that. Who are you? If this doesn't show you who he is, tell me what will. And at a time like this, when the Ukraine is going up in smoke, the entire Arab Crescent is in turmoil, this is the best he can do, is to turn whites against blacks and Hispanics? What is he doing here? Ryan in Pittsburgh on Pittsburgh is a different station. You got to give me the Pittsburgh station, Phil. That's the station I want. Ryan, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Not only is My Brother's Keeper a completely racist program because it excludes an entire race, but it's also completely sexist as well.
It doesn't apply to even women. There's no money for young black girls and young Hispanic girls? Is this guy crazy or what, Ryan?
He is nuts.
Has he lost all bearings?
He has lost all bearings, and you touched on this earlier. The most important question right now is, what do we do about it? What can we do about it?
What do you do when a leader goes mad? I want to know that, because I think we have a madman in the White House. What do you do when a president shows signs of madness? To me, this is a clear sign of insanity. It's political insanity. It makes no sense to me. Does it make any sense to you politically?
No, but he controls the masses, and that's...
Wait, hold on. He's got all the blacks and Hispanics voting for him anyway, to the 98th percentile. So he's not going to win any more votes that way. So what is he really doing here? He's alienating the poor white? He wants them not to vote for a Democrat again? We're not following the ball. We're just looking at the shadows on the wall of the cave. There's another more sinister element to this money being used, and I see it, and I'm afraid to even tell you what it is on this show. I see something so sinister that I can't even tell it to you on this program. I want to stick to the Ukraine, because if I say to you what I really think he's doing, you'll call me crazy. We're going to have to wait a few days until this trickles down to the... to the average person, where they can finally understand what he's doing. Let's stick to the Ukraine, because it's not as close to home. And I think it's almost more clearly understood, incidentally. WFTL in Florida, Tom, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I would just like to say a couple things. One, President Yanukovych was invited by the EU to join the EU, and it was only until he refused that he became a dictator. So that's for all those popular opinion people forget.
Now, explain to people what that is. The former president of the Ukraine was induced to align with the EU, and when he refused, they called him a dictator. Is that it?
Yeah, after he refused, he's a dictator. The important thing to know is this is the international financial banking elite running to Wall Street. Their system is dead. The United States and Western Europe is dead. They need new places to loot. Eurasia's on the upswing. Economically, relatively, and they're going after Russia first. They're going to back down Russia. That's the point here. That's Ukraine was a pretext to back Russia down. If Russia...
Okay, so you've got Obama, Susan Rice, Victoria Nuland, and the other European puppets, along with the Western prostitutes in the media, who are orchestrating this from day one. But remember who the money is behind it and who the architects likely are. They are the neocons going back to Paul Wolfowitz. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, and Susan Rice and Jarrett are both educated in England.
Well, that part of it doesn't mean that much to me. Remember, the neocons who pushed Bush into launching a war against Iraq are the same people now still pulling the strings behind the scenes. They're not in power, but they are empowered. And they are pulling the strings on this Ukrainian story, as sure as I'm sitting here. That's my guess. I have no way to confirm it. When I come back, we have a man who will try to confirm it for us, Paul Craig Roberts of Prison Planet, who says that the Ukrainian neo-Nazis declare that power comes out of the barrels of their guns. I suggest you listen. You may disagree with him. You may agree with part of what he says. You may not agree that it's neo-Nazis who have overthrown the duly elected president of the Ukraine. Or at the end, you may come to see that's true. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We do not believe this should be an East-West, Russia, United States. This is not Rocky IV.
There is John Kerry ketchup rattling against Putin, warning him not to engage in his own sphere of influence, which is beyond incomprehensible to me. How can he expect Putin not to protect his military assets in the Crimea and his geopolitical assets in the area is incomprehensible to me, especially at a time like this. Joining us right now to bring much more clarity to the matter is Paul Craig Roberts of Prison Planet. He wrote this: Ukrainian neo-Nazis declare that power comes out of the barrels of their guns. Mr. Roberts, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you.
Now, why do you say neo-Nazis? We saw young girls with iPhones leading the parade.
That's so funny. Look, Michael, this was a coup plotted by the United States against the elected government of Ukraine because it refused to join the EU. The United States wants the Ukraine in the EU because that means NATO, and then the U.S. can put missile bases on Russia's Ukrainian border.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is about. Now, where the United States miscalculated was they overlooked the ultra-nationalist. And they have Nazi roots. They go back to the forces that fought for Hitler against the Soviet Union in World War II.
No, let me clarify. You mean the architects of this coup did not think that they would be in cahoots with these nationalist Nazis?
No, they weren't. They were working with what they call moderates, who, basically stooges who were paid money by Washington to overthrow the elected government, put up a very moderate democratic front, and take Ukraine into the European Union.
Now, all right, but they didn't foresee that lurking in the background were these dark forces, in other words?
I think the plotters in the State Department simply overlooked the existence of these people and were caught off guard. And so who is running the situation is not Washington's chosen stooges, but these well-organized right-wing elements who are the ones who introduced violence into the protests. They are the only armed group, and they are now intimidating the American stooges. They show up to meetings of the ministers armed and tell them what to legislate and what to do.
Let me read what you wrote, because, Paul, your article is so brilliant. You said, to toot my own horn, I might have been the first and only to predict that Washington's organization of pro-EU Ukrainian politicians into a coup against the elected government of Ukraine would destroy democracy and establish the precedent that force prevails over elections, thereby empowering the organized and armed extreme right wing. And then you say, only Obama, Susan Rice, Victoria Nuland, Washington's European puppets and the Western prostitute media can describe the brutal reality of post-coup Ukraine as, quote, the forward march of democracy. But we all agree that the West now faces a real mess, as does Russia. Where will the situation go, given that you know and I know that Putin's going to retake at least the Crimea? Do you think he will actually try to retake the Ukraine?
It depends on developments. I think Putin will rely on diplomacy. I don't think he needs to do much at this point because the Crimea itself has installed a Russian unity party now, and they are going to vote soon about their own future. And I expect they'll vote to rejoin Russia. You see, the Crimea historically was part of Russia. It was transferred to the Ukraine by Khrushchev in 1954. I think in order to water down, you know, by transferring in a whole bunch of Russians into the Ukraine, he hoped to water down the right-wing Nazi elements in the West. But it's historically part of Russia, and it'll probably go back to Russia, and there won't be much anybody can do about it. But Putin doesn't need to do it. The people there themselves will do it.
Let me read what you wrote, because people may not be aware of you and your background. I've read your articles for years, Paul, on Prison Planet, and here's what you wrote. Having done Russian studies in graduate school, having been a member of the USSR Student Exchange Program in 1961, having traveled to Russia, Georgia, Ukraine, and Uzbekistan, having published in scholarly journals of Slavic and Russian studies, having twice addressed the Soviet Academy of Sciences, having been invited to explain to the CIA why the Soviet economic collapse occurred despite the CIA's prediction of the contrary, I wouldn't know anything about how people suffered under communism. The willingness of readers to display to me their utter ignorance and stupidity is astonishing. There is a large number of people who think reality consists of their delusions. Wouldn't they accuse you of being a front man for worldwide communism, given that background?
There's not any worldwide communism. Where is it?
Well, I don't know whether there is or is not a sort of a neo-colonial EU would be a new Soviet Union, wouldn't it?
Stupid enough to do anything, Michael. I mean, after all, I'm a famous Reaganite, usually denounced by the liberals as a Reaganite fascist. Sure, of course, I'm a front for communism.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're a Reaganite. Okay, I get it.
Well, look,
now, when we spoke, Paul, you were very clear that this has been orchestrated by the old neocons who have caused so much trouble around the world, including the Iraq War. Can you name who they are, please?
Well, the neoconservatives, we have in the government at this time the National Security Advisor to Obama, Susan Rice, is a neoconservative. We have in the State Department Victoria Nuland, who is the one who plotted the coup against the Ukrainian government. In fact, there's really nobody in positions of executive authority in the Obama regime that's not a neocon. The Bush regime was completely full of them. The State Department, the Defense Department, the intelligence agencies. You see, who are they? Wolfowitz, Richard Perle, Douglas Feith, all of Vice President Cheney's people, for example. They go back to the Reagan years. They infiltrated the Reagan government. They caused a mess. He fired them. Some were prosecuted. Reagan's successor, George Herbert Walker Bush, rehabilitated them. They were in the Clinton administration. They gave us the invasion of Serbia, the overthrow of Serbia, the theft of Kosovo from Serbia. They gave us the Iraq War, Afghanistan, Libya. These are the neocons. They control United States foreign policy. Many of them are dual Israeli citizens.
So, Paul, you were Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Economic Policy and Associate Editor of the Wall Street Journal. You were a columnist for Business Week, the Scripps Howard News Service, and Creative Syndicate. Your book, your latest book, is The Failure of Laissez-Faire Capitalism and Economic Dissolution of the West, which is now available. If you were to predict what's coming, what would that be? What is coming, since that we have Air Force, we have airplanes overflying the Ukrainian border, we have 150,000 Russian troops on the border. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think that the Obama administration is going to be very badly embarrassed by the fact that they lost control of the coup and these right-wing elements have taken over and are intimidating what Obama thought would be the American installed government. And so they're flouting Nazi symbols, they're attacking people, they're attacking Jewish synagogues, they're attacking Russian Orthodox churches, they're attacking Russian citizens. They've passed a law removing Russian as an official language. They're talking about passing a law removing all people of Russian ethnic origin from citizenship and making them,
oh my God,
non-citizens. They're tearing down public monuments, including the monuments to the Russian troops that liberated.
How come we haven't seen any of this on CNN or MSNBC? Why are those images not being shown? I'm asking a facetious question. I think for the same reason that we never saw the bridges on the Danube River that were blown up by Clinton and NATO, not shown, not one picture was ever shown of the atrocities committed during the Kosovo War. Ever. Ever. There was a press blackout when they overthrew, when they attacked Serbia to steal Kosovo. It's not akin to the stealing of Kosovo from Serbia, but there are elements that are similar, aren't there?
It's the same thing. That was a plot, too. Look, the media has to support the government's line because it was concentrated in a few hands during the Clinton years, and the value of the media depends on the federal broadcast licenses. So if they go against the government, they simply cease to exist. They don't get the licenses renewed. So the media is essentially a propaganda ministry for the government. That's been that way since Clinton. And, of course, the CIA has always had assets in the media, in the American media, even in the Reagan years. I mean, long all the way back to the beginning. So you can't expect the print or TV media to tell anything except the government story. So, Michael, you asked me what's going to happen. So what's happening now is that Europe is worried because the coup backfired. The Americans lost control. The neo-Nazis have it. The Europeans realize this is a threat to them. It's also a threat to Russia, and then therefore a second threat to them because they don't want to have that kind of trouble. So Putin will probably sit there and see how things develop. If somehow the American puppets can wrest control away from the extreme ultra-nationalists, Putin will work out some deal with them. He'll negotiate with them and work out some deal. I think the Crimea will vote to go back to Russia, where it belongs and always has been, and probably also a part, that's the southern Ukraine, but also eastern Ukraine, our former Russian provinces that Khrushchev stuck into the Ukraine. So those will probably go back to Russia. Now, if the right wing prevails and they keep this aggressive stance, there could be a civil war, but I think what will basically happen is the Russian provinces will exit the Ukraine, and certainly these right-wing elements can't go up against the Russian army. So that would be the end.
What would the chances be for NATO to send in troops for either side? You think they have the spine to do that?
They've got the stupidity to do it. They're stupid.
Very interesting. So the Blue Helmets versus the Nazis in the Ukraine. That's an interesting scenario.
Well,
if that emerged.
Michael, Obama wouldn't want to do that because that would be a public admittance of his era, that they started a coup and lost control. They don't want that to come out. So I don't know. What they'll do, they'll give a lot of warnings to Russia and try to stop Russia from protecting the Russians, hoping that the whole thing ends up like Iraq, where everybody's fighting each other all day long, still today. Or
Paul, when we come back for the end of this hour, I got to take a quick commercial break. I want to ask you about another large element of the Ukrainian population, which are the Tatars, or the Tatars, however people wish to pronounce it, who they are, what they are, and where they side in this matter. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is not as clear as we may think. We're talking with Paul Craig Roberts of Prison Planet about the situation in the Ukraine and the Crimea. And I want to ask him about the Kazan Tatars who practice Sunni Islam, who are a large population element in this confusion. Where is Paul? Paul, welcome back to the program. What role will the Tatars play in this?
Well, the Tatars in the Crimea are only 12% of the population. They're the descendants of the Khanate. You know, there's an old Russian saying, scratch a Russian, find a Tatar. For centuries, Russia was ruled by these Mongolians who overran the place and were finally thrown out some centuries ago. And about 200 years ago, Russia conquered the Crimea. This was the remaining foothold of the Orientals, the Tatars. And but they don't, what role they play, Michael, is that as a small minority, they are funded by Washington to cause trouble. What Washington funds every, you know, Russia is a country of many minorities, and Washington funnels money to them to produce troubles and difficulties because it's a weakness that Russia has that Washington exploits to reduce Russia's ability to resist American hegemony.
So, in other words, this is still the Cold War. Am I hearing that today, Paul?
No, it's worse than the Cold War, Michael. It is a drive by the neoconservatives for American hegemony over the entire world. And the three.
Oh, would you? What would you prefer, that or Russian control of the world?
No, the Russians are making no efforts whatsoever to control the world. They can't.
All right, well, we can leave it at that. I think that's a whole different discussion. Paul Craig Roberts, Prison Planet, headline, Ukrainian neo-Nazis declare that power comes out of the barrels of their guns. Paul, brilliant. Thank you. I only have 30 seconds, so I have to say goodnight. Thank you again. By the way, Charles Bronson, born Charles Buczynski, was born to a Polish-Lithuanian immigrant father of Lipka Tatar ancestry. I love Charles Bronson. I always thought he was American Indian and Mexican, personally. I know, I always loved his look. He had a certain look to him that certainly looked like Genghis Khan was in his blood.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We do not believe this should be an East-West, Russia, United States. This is not Rocky IV.
Well, Obama and Kerry have really put their foot in it this time. They're turning it into Rocky IV. They're going to take it from a Cold War to a hot war if this keeps up. There was a crisis, not only in the Ukraine, but in the Crimean Peninsula. There are Russian jets that have been scrambled. 150,000 Russian troops are on the border. And our divisive president had the audacity today, instead of trying to calm nerves across the globe, our imposter president had the nerve to announce a program of $200 million only for minorities. Whites need not apply. And supporting this is none other than the fraud Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly is 100% in favor of spending money only on Hispanics and African-American youth. Girls need not apply. Whites need not apply. Chinese need not apply. Asians need not apply. It's illegal. It's immoral. It is unconstitutional. I don't know how we can get away with this. I don't know how anybody can support this. I don't know where Congress is on this. I don't know where he gets the authority to spend this money for blacks and Hispanics only. I don't understand what's happening in this country other than to say to you that I believe the president is totally out of control. When Fox News is supporting this, what does that tell you? What is this leading to? What is he really doing by giving money only to Hispanic boys and African-American boys? Whites need not apply. What is he doing here? And then the Ukraine is still another problem. It's getting worse, not better. And it's going to get much worse instead of better before it gets better. And now we have a Russian warship that docked in Havana. What do you think that's about? It's very simple to figure that one out. Russian spy ship docked in Havana. Is Putin playing chess with us? He's saying, you're going to meddle in my backyard. I'll tell you what, I'll meddle in your backyard. This is going to become like the Cuban Missile Crisis all over again because of this incompetent president that we have in the White House. He's messed the whole world up. Now let's take some calls. WFTL in Florida, you're the first up this hour. Chris, go ahead, please. Fire away.
It's an honor to talk to you again, Dr. Savage. The last time I spoke to you was 2 days after 9/11, and you had Benjamin Netanyahu on your show that night. So it's great to talk to you again. I believe that this Brother's Keeper thing is nothing more than a bunch of brown shirts. He's promising, I believe it's like $35,000 salaries to these people. And if it's all one race, obvious, it's going to be a bunch of brown shirts. I don't think that Mr. Obama is going to intend to leave office when his term is over. I think he wants to be president for life, and I think that he's going to have a whole bunch of thugs to keep him in power. One way or the other, it's going to be a very ugly thing.
Well, we can thank Bill O'Reilly for that if it does happen, and I hope to God you're wrong. Many people think you're crazy. I think that there's a high possibility that you may have a degree of reality in what you just said. There's something very suspicious about that. A Soviet-made, a Russian warship was docked in Havana Wednesday without explanation from communist Cuba or its state media. It's a gigantic spy ship. What is it doing? The Viktor Leonov CCB-175 measures 91 meters or 300 feet, and it was docked at the port of Havana's cruise ship area near the Russian Orthodox Cathedral. The Vishnia, or Meridian-class intelligence ship, which has a crew of around 200, went into service in the Black Sea in 1988 before it was transferred to the Northern Fleet. Nobody knows what it's doing there. Now, you know that the former Soviet Union was Cuba's sponsor state through 30 years of Cold War. The ship is reportedly armed with 30-millimeter guns and anti-aircraft missiles, which is really nothing. But what in the world do you think Putin is saying by moving the ship to Cuba? It's quite clear to me what it is. It's saying, go ahead, make my day. You want to meddle in my sphere of influence? I will show you, Mr. Obama and John Kerry, that you can rattle your ketchup bottles all you want, but when push comes to shove, we don't care about ketchup bottles because we've shed so much blood for this region. We're not about to give it over to you simply because you feel uncomfortable with this. Does Putin have the right to take back the peninsula itself or the entire Ukraine? It doesn't matter what we think, by the way. He's going to do it anyway. You could have predicted this a while ago. He certainly will begin with the peninsula, the Crimean. There's no question in my mind that's going back to the Soviet Union. I mean, to Russia, however you want to put it. The new Soviet Union, if you want to put it that way. But to me, the new Soviet Union is the EU. They are just as deadly as the old Soviet Union, only they do it in a more classically liberal manner. They kill you slowly rather than quickly. WABC, Yuri, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. An honor.
Attention, would you please? 855-400-7282. WFTL, Tom, welcome to the program. Tom, not there. See, we're having a little problem now. Let's go to Carlos on KSFO. Carlos, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you ask what right did they have to remove Yanukovych. Well, Nixon would have been removed. Andrew Johnson was removed. They should have removed Hitler, who was also elected by the most civilized nation at the time. And I've spent 15 different trips. I was 6 months last year in Ukraine. I was with the protesters last month for one day back when it was peaceful. But so I can tell you about the Crimea. There are a lot of people there that would like to be part of Russia, but it's basically because Russia has an income and a standard of living that is twice or three times what the people in Ukraine have because they got all that oil, diamonds, gold, and everything else.
So don't they have a right to that standard of living?
Well, not if they're living in Ukraine and they're Ukrainian citizens. The other thing is...
Well, now you're mixing apples with oranges. They themselves are largely a Russian population in the Crimea. You know that if you spent time there.
Right. Now listen, they went there like 50, 60 years ago, just like the Russians went to Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and all the rest of the stands, and Lithuania, Latvia. You know, the Russians are all over the place, but they have...
You mean like the Mexicans have been allowed to invade America for reasons that only Obama and the illegal administration understand? Why are we allowing the Mexicans to invade America? What are we trying to do here? Let's bring it on home. Should we turn this into a satellite of the government of Mexico?
Right, but the Mexicans don't have American passports, but the Russians...
Well, what do you mean they don't have American passports? They vote in our elections illegally. They drive on our highways illegally. They use our hospitals illegally. They flood our schools illegally. What do you mean they don't have passports? They live better than most Americans do. The government bends over backwards for this invasion, this invading army. So, there's whole movements of population going on around the world, including in our own backyard. Thank you for the call. It's a little off the topic, I get it. But let's not be distracted by what's going on in the Ukraine. The leaders of this country, who are aligned with the European Union and the New World Order, are trying to destroy this nation's heritage, this nation's language, and this nation's borders. Make no mistake about it, the illegal invasion is done for one reason. It's to break the nation's sovereignty. And it's being done right in front of your eyes. It's that simple. But this issue in the Ukraine is going to be hotter tomorrow than it is today. And I hope if you've been listening to the program and you heard the interview in the last hour, my analysis and Paul's analysis, and you made up your own mind, it doesn't much matter what we think. What matters is that we have seen once again that power does come out of the barrel of a gun. We've seen it over and over again. The Ukrainian revolutionaries who overthrew the duly elected president did so through the barrels of their guns and the barrels of the cameras used by the illegitimate media, the media prostitutes. They used young girls with nice smiles and guitars with iPhones in their hands as the front image of the Ukrainian revolt against the president. But behind them were the fascist neo-Nazi elements who had heavy light weapons. They didn't have tanks. They didn't have planes. They didn't have artillery, but they had machine guns. And they used these weapons to kill police and to storm the parliament and drive the duly elected president out. That's a fact of reality. Many of you have it upside down because right away, the day after he fled, the vermin in the media went into the palace and said, oh, look how bad he was. Look what he is building. Look at the private zoo. Look at the marble columns. Well, go in the White House. Why don't the same press that's talking about that tell us about Michelle's 70 personal assistants or the $20 million that this couple has spent on lavish vacations, for God's sakes? Why? Because it's propaganda from top to bottom. I'm doing my best to give you my view. It's one man's opinion. I have a radio show. I have an interest in international politics. I always have. But it's only my opinion that you're hearing. You're certainly entitled to your own. I'm not trying to impose my opinion upon you because it doesn't amount to jack. Why? Because What I say, what you think doesn't matter. All that matters is who has more power in the situation. At the end of the day, Putin has the power, and we have a pipsqueak in the White House. And that's all you need to know. And to show you he's a pipsqueak, while all this is going on, he gets up and gives away $200 million to blacks and Hispanic boys, and no girls and no whites need apply. And Bill O'Reilly, there's a schmuck sitting applauding in the front row. And all of Fox now is applauding my brother's keeper. The phrase itself should give it away. My brother's keeper? It's the Savage Nation. I've got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The
855-400-7282. There are other stories. What that FCC commissioner tried to do was a crime against our Constitution and a crime against the American people. And as far as I'm concerned, she should be indicted. I don't care. I don't care who she is. I don't care that Representative Clyburn was a father. It doesn't matter to me. If a foreign agent had come into this country and gotten put onto the FCC, that foreign agent couldn't have done worse than what she did in trying to put police into the newsrooms called FCC monitors. The questions would shock you that they wanted to impose upon those in the newsrooms and those in the radio rooms. Why would she want to do this? It's to control the content. It's to make certain that the Obama governing philosophy is prevalent on radio shows and in the few outlets that are currently independent-minded. That means every internet site would have to answer to these communists, these evil communists. Now, we stopped this demonic administration from taking away our First Amendment. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You know what a big victory this is, that we backed off these rats, these communists, these evil vermin? They're evil vermin! If we lived in a sane society, they would have been arrested by now for what they try to do, the power grab. A foreign government wouldn't dare do what they try to do under that Clyburn. A foreign government wouldn't have tried to take over the newsrooms with content or radio stations. A foreign invader wouldn't have tried this. And I warned you about it, the enemy within. I warned you about it in book after book after book after book. But there's only so much any of us can do. But look what happens when collectively we raise our voices in opposition to this evil, evil, evil administration. Because there's no other word for what Obama just tried to pull off through his good friends in the Congressional Black Caucus, namely Mr. Clyburn, who everyone's afraid to say a word about for fear of being called a racist. The minute you criticize any African-American, suddenly you're a racist. He ought to be criticized for pulling this stunt, and him and his daughter should be investigated by the FBI. That's my opinion. Call me what you want. Just get the name right and the station right. Just get the name of the station you heard those words on correctly. I am thrilled that the FCC just backed off the newsroom radio survey plan. But I'm not thrilled that Clyburn hasn't been censured for this in Congress. When you watch movies of World War II, which are very important, the documentaries, and you see that after France was liberated by the Americans and the Russians, the French people had a certain surprise in store for the collaborators. The women who slept with the Nazis had their hair shaved so people would know that they were slime. The men were beaten in the street with sticks, the Nazi collaborators. Some of them were killed on the spot. What you don't seem to understand is that we have collaborators with Islamism and fascism operating in our nation today. They are working for the enemy. Anyone who's against free speech is a Nazi or communist collaborator. They're naked about it. They're so brazen in their belief system that they don't even hide it anymore. Why? Because the power structure is on their side. Do you think that that low-class girl at Harvard doesn't believe that the president of her university and on downward, or let's say the dean, let's go up to the dean level, they're all of the same cut. They're all from the same low-life background. That's how they get into the university. That's how they stay in there. Now, I want to backtrack for a minute. Obama's wishes to slash the military in size to that levels before World War II. So the question is, why? At a time when China's on the move building aircraft carriers, building spy satellites to defeat us with laser weaponry in space, with Russia getting ready to take what they consider to be part of their sphere of influence back, with Al-Qaeda more empowered than in a long time. He wants to scrap a class of Air Force attack jets, which can knock out enemy tanks. But worse than that, he wants to drop the standing army to 440,000 troops over the next several years. Now, on the face of it, they say, well, we can't afford it. Well, I agree with them. We can't afford admirals who do nothing and generals who do nothing but sit and scheme how to get contracts and retirement income when they retire after steering contracts for projects we don't need. Military contractors, no doubt, are very unhappy with this. Beltway insiders are very unhappy with this. Well, I'm very unhappy with it, and I'm not a military contractor, and I'm not a Beltway insider. A pox upon all their houses. But I'm not impressed with the fact that they're doing this strictly to reduce costs.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Writer Sandra Korn, radical feminist. As you would expect, they're the ones who manned the concentration camps in Hitler's Germany. I know that's one big sweeping statement. Just check it out. Check out who the matrons were in Auschwitz. And you'll see a few familiar faces. The clip-haired, mean face look. Get the picture? Yeah, they wielded the batons. But you don't understand that yet. Liberals of the classic variety used to say, I may not agree with you, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. Unfortunately, the liberal breed of today would say, I may not agree with you, but drop dead, we want to kill you. First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth. What do they actually mean to you? Well, what they mean is everything. Without them, you're nothing. If you lose your soul by losing your freedoms, you're nothing. You're a cog in a wheel. Put it any way you want. You're just a neutron. You're not even an atom. And so if you want to retain your humanity, you have to retain your independence of thinking, your independence of ability to speak, to write as you wish, to challenge authority. What's ironic here, there's so many ironies, it's hard to begin, is that the liberal credos of the 70s used to see bumper stickers, question authority. So now if you question authority, they want to silence you because they're the authority, just as we all knew it would come to this. You don't understand a thing about all of this, do you? Those who scream the loudest about freedom and oppression will oppress you and take your freedoms away faster than I could say Jack Daniels, and I don't drink the stuff. Now, if you have evidence that global warming is a scam, if you have evidence that the global warming industry is a scam, they're calling you a denier, and they want you to be curtailed in your ability to present any evidence. That is, whether it's at a university or in the media, they want it squashed. It's the opposite of freedom of speech, the opposite of science. And the fact of the matter is we're on the cusp of 100 years of darkness in this nation. And the only people standing up to this clique of fascists right now are black pastors. Oh, there are voices of opposition to this clique. But it came out a huge coalition of black pastors announced that they're launching a campaign to gather 1 million signatures calling for the impeachment of A.G., Eric Holder. And they're black, obviously. They're black pastors. Now, I understand the administration will try to call it racism. The immediate reaction will be the knee-jerk liberal reaction to say anyone who opposes Holder is a racist. So they'll go down to their first item on the script card and say, this is racism. Then they'll say to the girl who writes that, say, no, honey, you can't say that because they're black pastors.
Well, they can't really be black. Any black who opposes Attorney General Holder is by definition not black. So they have no, they're not people of color. They're fake blacks. They're not real blacks. So, no, they are racist by definition.
How many years have I told you on this program, those of you who have been listening to me for years, that when an Hispanic is no longer useful to the liberal, he loses his ethnicity? When a Jewish person is no longer useful to the liberal agenda, he is no longer of any use whatsoever to the liberals. Go down the list. In other words, whenever a minority, so-called, ceases to be a useful idiot of the radical leftist machine, they are denuded of their ethnicity. Did you know that? So I know more about freedom of speech than anybody in the media today because I'm the only one who's been cauterized and paid a penalty for it. The rest are just giving you lip service. Good for them. I'm glad. Some of the loudest voices in the media today, in radio, who claim to be conservatives actually went on the air and said they were glad that I was banned in Britain. And I will curse them with their own words. I will hang them by their own petard. As was said to me by an Irish friend many years ago in a bar, what's the last thing an Irishman with Alzheimer's forgets? I said, I don't know. As I sipped on my Guinness, he said, they're enemies. Well, I laughed at that. And I've used it in other places. With my Italian friends, I said to them, hey, Lorenzo, what's the last thing an Italian with Alzheimer's forgets? He said, I don't know. I said, his enemies. You get a laugh out of it. You could try it. It works. Jewish, Romanian, Polish, Romanian, Ukrainian, Russian, Slobovian, lower Slobovian, upper Slobovian, poodle, Danish. It doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is, I will never forget my enemies, especially those who pose as your conservative leaders. Never. They're the most dangerous. I warn you. We know who the liberals are. They're bad enough. But what do you make of a conservative who wraps himself every day like a foul-mouthed Trotskyite in Brooklyn in the 1940s with a bad Robert Hall suit with a tuna fish stain on the lapel? What do you make of a man like that who said he's glad that I was banned by Britain and now poses as a great hero of freedom of speech? Well, we'll find out as time goes on who that is. We will play his own words, and I'll let the chips fall where they may. But they're all free to go to England for the fabulous dental care and the super cuisine of England. I can't. The closest I could get to is Ireland. But having said that, I want you to also understand how serious this business really is. Freedom of speech is a rather new phenomenon. This was not something that was common in the world, even in the Western world, until rather recently. And freedom of speech is perhaps the most important freedom that we have. And right now, Obama and Holder and the minions want to crush it by putting police in newsrooms and radio rooms. You could say, oh, well, I'm making a big deal of it. It was stopped. Yeah, I'll make a big deal of it until that woman on the FCC is fired and she is investigated. I will not relent until that woman on the FCC who tried to do this, the daughter of that congressman, Clyburn, until Ms. Clyburn is investigated, I will not relent. I want a congressional panel to investigate Clyburn's background. I want them to investigate the organization she was using to police the newsrooms and see where their money has come from and where it's gone. And if $10 is missing, if $10 was spent on a hamburger that was not supposed to be spent, I want their nonprofit status pulled. I want justice in this country. I will not relent until this is stopped. Now, we've come to this point because most of us have done nothing. Now, which Republicans, though, joined the Democrats is the question. I don't actually remember all of them. I know that one of them was from Mississippi. He wore a nice suit. He looked like Clark Kent. He's now a lobbyist, I think, for taxes or something like that. He was a big, big, powerful guy for a big Republican. I don't know. I forget his name, but I know he was one of them. Trent Lott. That's it. Republican Trent Lott. He said, talk radio is running America. So he wanted it. Who else was on that list? Was he the main one? Feinstein? Of course Feinstein. We were talking about her and her wonderful husband and their patriotic ways. How did Feinstein, who was a mayor of San Francisco, become the most powerful woman in the U.S. Senate? And how is it that she's in charge of the Senate Armed Services Committee? And how is it that her husband has had defense contracts over the years? And how is it that their fortunes have grown while she's been on this committee? I'm not saying there's any relationship whatsoever. As we well know, there would absolutely be no question about it that she wouldn't steer any contracts to her husband's companies. You know that they're absolutely as pure as the driven snow. But it's very curious to me that there's not been any investigation of this in years, other than by the LA Times, who raised the question many years ago while it was still a relatively independent newspaper. Pelosi wants the Fairness Doctrine returned. Did you know that? She wants the Fairness Doctrine returned. Why wouldn't Pelosi want it? Why wouldn't Representative Slaughter of New York, if she's still around, want it? In other words, the lower they are, the higher they are on the fascism scale. See, the lower they are in terms of human behavior and policies, the higher they are on wanting to crush free speech. But there are those in the Republican Party who would love it just as well. They would love it just as well. Many of them would love us to be silenced so they can just go along and get along. It's that simple, and retire to their condos on the west coast of Florida and drink themselves into eternity. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
While this business is going on in the Ukraine, our crackpot president has denounced that he's giving away $200 million of taxpayer money to young men of color only. Whites need not apply. I'm telling you like it is. I'm not doing this for the sake of alarming you or exciting you. We have a president who looks madder to me by the day. I look at his eyes, and I see a madman. I see a man detached from reality. I see a man who is so above any criticism that he has no one to tell him, wait a minute, president, listen to me. You're going to get up there and you're going to give away money, $200 million, to young men of color only for job training and early childhood education? Well, what do you think white people are going to think? No one said that to him. Now, I have a couple of questions. Where does he have the authority to exclude white people, white young white boys, from such a program? Can anyone listening to this show me where in the law this lunatic president of ours has the right to say that only young men of color can apply for these grants and programs? I'd like to see where it is. That's number one. But number two, how can any white person in this country ever vote for a Democrat again? I don't understand you. I don't understand you. You don't see what's happening. You've dug your own grave. He's thrown you in your grave. He's telling you to go to hell, and it was white people, deluded white people, who put him in power. Make no mistake about it. If he didn't get that swing vote of independent whites who were sick and tired of the corrupt Republican regime of George Bush, and they saw another empty suit in their mind of Romney, they said, well, we'll try this guy. Now look where we are. He's now announcing a program that white boys cannot apply for. It's only for, it says young men of color can apply for the money only. Only Latinos can apply. Latinos and Hispanics, I don't use the word Latino, that's a radical term. Hispanics and African Americans can apply for this money. White boys cannot apply. It's racist, it's unconstitutional, it's illegal. I don't know where he gets the authority to do this. But how do you, the listener of this show, who knows something about the Holy Scriptures and the history of the world, the history of the United States, how do you feel about a man like this doing a thing like this at a time like this when there is turmoil around the world, once again dividing the United States of America? It's 855-400-7282. Well, the biggest news is the Ukraine. And what else? When I say Ukraine, what else am I talking about? Well, obviously, I'm also talking about the Crimea, a peninsula attached to the Ukraine that has been part and parcel of Russia for a very, very long number of centuries, until 1954, when it was suddenly made part of the Ukraine. The fact of the matter is, most of the residents of the Crimea speak Russian. They're aligned with Russia. They're not aligned with the Tatars of the Ukraine. And that's an interesting part. The Tatars of the Ukraine sided with the Nazis during World War II. Those are the new friends of the EU and the United States. You don't know that. That whole Tatar population was very happily a member of the Nazi regime. But let's not look at past history. Let's just look at realpolitik. Do you think the United States would give up Texas if it decided to secede? No, of course not. Well, it's not happening. He's not afraid of Kerry. He's not afraid of Obozo with the White House there. Was he another red line in the sand? Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, what's going to happen is very intriguing and probably very dangerous. Governor Brewer of Arizona vetoed the bill that would have permitted restaurants to bar gays from their restaurants or from their businesses if they opposed homosexuality. She did that because she had to do it, because the pressure on it was too great by the lobbies of all kinds. Meanwhile, Google was ordered to remove the anti-Islamic film from YouTube by the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels. Google refused to remove it, despite White House pressure. But finally, the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels was ordered Google to remove from its YouTube video-sharing website an anti-Islamic film, so-called. Some would call it an anti-Islamic film. Others would call it a film that is actually real. And the fact of the matter is, it's a film, but it was apparently so offensive that it had to be removed, not because of its content. This is an interesting subtext. The plaintiff in this case was an actress in the movie, And she said that she never agreed to appear in this film knowing that it was about Muhammad and Islam. So she said because she's a copyright holder of her acting, she has a right to withdraw the film. And that's how the Ninth Circuit decided, based on that, to remove this film. Again, I want to repeat, Google had refused to remove the film from YouTube, despite pressure from Obama and others. Now, in court filings, Google said that the actress appeared in the film for 5 seconds, and that while she might have legal claims against the director, she should not win a copyright lawsuit against Google. But she just did. She just won, basically, a copyright case against Google. The Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels said that Garcia, the actress, was likely to prevail in her copyright claim, and because she faced serious threats against her life, they're removing it. So this is a very interesting case. In many ways, the actress does have rights, and I actually agree with the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiel in this case, incidentally. It's not about the Islam film, it's about the actor's rights within that film. So don't be confused by the low-information conservative talk show hosts who give you a gloss over to make you think that everything is one way. It's much more nuanced and subtle than you may have heard from some others in the media, especially those on the so-called conservative side who don't understand the whole picture, in my estimation. What else is in the news? Well, oh goodness, let's see. The rain has come back to the California coast. It's flooding, it's storming, it's wet, it's wild. But every story in the San Francisco newspaper says, but it hasn't affected the drought. They can't take that out of their computer yet. The Politburo has not permitted them to remove that one line. That although the rains are now flooding roads, and there's another blowout coming this weekend, they're not allowed to remove the line that says, but it hasn't affected the drought. Unbelievable to me what's happened to the so-called world of journalism. Anyway, you can get all these stories on michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. There's much more to read. There's much more to see. And I try to post the most exciting stories of the day on my website. Well, that concludes the news headlines for today at the end of hour number 3 here on the Savage Nation. I mean, we keep giving you the latest news. Eric Holder's in the hospital, incidentally, with chest pains and shortness of breath. Let's hope for a speedy recovery. Our esteemed attorney general. I didn't call him esteemed. I said our esteemed attorney general. Let's hope he has a very quick recovery because we need that leftist agenda forced down our throats for the next 3 years.
Savage. This is the number one talk station in the Bay Area. Strong, proud, and always conservative. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.